This week, President Trump tweeted the false claim that the elderly protester shoved by police in Buffalo was a member of the anti-fascist group Antifa. He is not. Last Sunday, the president once again said he would designate Antifa a terrorist organization. He said the same thing last year after followers rumbled with the far-right group the Proud Boys. But Antifa has never been accused of killing anyone, unlike the KKK, which is not declared a terrorist organization. Attorney General Barr says Antifa was responsible for the looting and violence we saw early on in riots that followed protests, but federal court records show no sign of Antifa links. NPR has reviewed court documents of 51 people facing charges. So far, none is alleged to have links. And local arrest records show most of those involved were locals, angry residents, and disaffected kids. And many peace activists on the left have disavowed Antifa's anti-fascist tactics, saying to attack violence with violence defeats the purpose. So everyone is talking about Antifa. Let's get a reminder of who they are with Brandi Zarazny, an investigative reporter for NBC News, who's taken a deep dive. Hi, Brandi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So who or what is Antifa?
Well, Antifa is sort of a loose organization. It has its roots back in the 20s and 30s with groups in Germany and the UK who fought against those rising fascist movements. And the modern Antifa movement began in the 60s. It came to the US in the 70s and the 80s with groups that would fight skinheads at punk rock shows. They have a sort of ideology that says that fascism and people they believe to be fascists are violent in nature inherently. The movement is violent. And so they feel that violence to counteract that is allowed and is useful. The idea is that if more people had, you know, brawled in the streets with actual Nazis, then Hitler and the Nazi Party would have never risen to power. So Antifa has popped up again now with the election of Donald Trump, the rise of the alt-right, and the rise of far-right extremists and white nationalist groups that have sort of come up all at the same time.
Yeah. And so to be clear, what you just said, there's no leader, there's no organization. This is what critics say about President Trump's claim that he will make them domestic terrorists. First of all, we don't have a domestic terrorism law, but there's no leader or organization to charge. And we do know that there is one maybe more organized cell called Rose City Antifa in Portland, Oregon. They have a large following on social media. But other than that, as you said, very loose. If you're from the West Coast, you may know them a little more. Many others became aware of Antifa in 2017. They showed up at the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally that gathered Nazis and white supremacists and then stopped the conservative Milo Yiannopoulos from speaking at UC Berkeley by smashing windows and lighting fires in Sproul Plaza there. So Berkeley decided to cancel the event. And this is why the right has long been positioning them as enemies of free speech.
Right. Well, they have a belief that denying fascists and people on the far right a platform is a way to stop their rise. And it's not just, you know, violence in the streets. It's also coordinated campaigns to shame, out, harass those on the far right. So the campaign against letting Milo Yiannopoulos speak was a successful one. They've also protested people like Ann Coulter, Michelle Malkin, and those sorts of people. And then smaller groups, you know, of people who were at the Charlottesville rally, people that are sort of Antifa aligned, have doxed those people, brought them out to their employers, just sort of made it very clear for all to see who the people were. In effect, it's, you know, taking de-hooding Klansmen is their theory. And that's part of what their actions are. And I would say probably that's what they mostly do. The street brawls that you're seeing in Portland are not their main activities.
No. But that is how they've been positioned by their critics. And with that in mind, rumors are flying that Antifa is showing up in small towns to wreak that kind of violent havoc, as Trump and Barr and some mayors and governors have claimed. So what has your reporting found?
Yeah, what we found is that it's been sort of a top-down disinformation campaign from the president and the president's allies, down to local law enforcement, and then through social media. And what's happened is that it's resulted in groups of armed militias really taking the streets to counter-protest small Black Lives Matter protests. We've seen this in Idaho. We've seen it in Florida. We've seen it in Oregon. in Oregon had hundreds of counter-protesters armed, ready to fight this invisible monster of Antifa that they heard on social media was coming to their town to murder people, murder white people, take their guns, and destroy their town. Of course, Antifa never came, but what they did do was intimidate a large group of diverse people who came together to peacefully protest police brutality in their small town.
We, by the way, had a piece yesterday out of Missoula, Montana, where the same thing happened. Armed with guns, whites showed up to fend off these Antifa fighters that they had been told were coming. They never came. But I want to be clear. Are you saying that Antifa is not showing up at all? These are now peaceful protests for the last, over a week. But in the beginning, when we saw the violence, are you saying that Antifa wasn't there?
No, I think that it only makes sense because inherently a large factor in Antifa ideology is anti-racism. So I would say there's a very good chance that people who, call themselves Antifa would be at these protests. However, as you stated, the evidence suggests that there is no evidence to link any people who are with Antifa to any of the looting or property destruction. And that's, based on the FBI internal report. It's based on the protest-related indictments reported by the Daily Beast. There's just no evidence to say that's the case. What the evidence points to is that the small bits of looting or property destruction has really more from local opportunists, just regular old criminals that we've always had. It's not, Antifa.
But what are you hearing might be the danger of armed whites showing off to fight off this invisible Antifa force that they say, is coming to their town to be violent when in fact they're not coming? And what you have instead are peaceful protesters, as we've seen for days now. Is there a concern that at some point some of those peaceful protesters might get accused of being Antifa, as we saw in Buffalo with the elderly man that President Trump says was an Antifa member? And he wasn't. He was member of a longtime member of a peace organization.
Yeah, we've already seen around the country some examples of these sort of vigilante mob mentality taking over these small towns. In Forks, Washington, a multiracial family was camping using a refurbished bus, and locals egged on by a gun dealer on Facebook in their town, they went and they felled trees and cut them off so they couldn't escape the campground. They were terrified. They had to be rescued by some high school kids. In McAllen, Texas, we saw a man armed with a chainsaw run off protesters. And in Klamath Falls, there were several arrests of, drunk people wielding AK-47s and ARs. It just seems like a powder keg. And people that I've spoken to, activists from small towns to larger groups on Black Lives Matter side, they're very concerned for their safety.
Well, and we should also say they have also spoken out against Antifa's tactics. Obviously, they're speaking out against sometimes white supremacists, but at least whites showing up with guns to fight Antifa. But they've also said to Antifa, in many cases, that the violent tactics are completely contrary to what they stand for. Brandi Zadrozny, investigative reporter at NBC News, will link you to the rest of her deep dive on Antifa at hereandnow.org. But Brandi, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.